This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada with 50,000 watts of clear channel power. Today, we're honored to have on the program the former ambassador of the United States to the Dominican Republic, Robin Bernstein. I've known her for many years in Palm Beach, Florida. She's a top business and civic leader, and she served in this position as ambassador to the Dominican Republic from 2018 to 2021. She was born in Bridgetown, New Jersey, and graduated from Bridgetown High School in 72. She received a Bachelor of Arts in Language Area Studies from the American University School of International Service in 75. Robin Bernstein later earned a Master of Business Administration from the George Washington University School of Business in 81. A great diplomat, our guest today on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Let's talk about your role as the U.S. Ambassador to the Dominican Republic. What was that all about, Ambassador Bernstein?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. We've been friends and colleagues for a long time, Brian, and it's an honor to be on your show. 2018 to 2021 were very, very important years because as a U.S. ambassador, number one, you are responsible for the safety and security of all Americans that live, visit, travel, or study there. There are about 2 million Dominicans that live in the United States. So the bilateral relationship is really, really important because a lot of Dominicans come from America back to their homeland. A lot of Americans visit their relatives in the Dominican Republic. So there are about 3 million American tourists that visit the Dominican Republic every year and growing. We have a very, very important bilateral security relationship because we have about a staff of 800. We issue over 100,000 visas a year to visit the United States. We have bilateral education exchanges. Of course, any of you baseball fans out there know how important the Dominican Republic is to the United States. About 11.5% of all MLB players are, in fact, Dominican. So it's a very, very important bilateral exchange, not to mention trade, not to mention the fact that the Dominican Republic is such a strong ally and a neighbor of the United States. So we can start with those things right there, Brian.
Wonderful. And we've had many ambassadors on this program, including Ambassador Carla Sands, Ambassador Vernon Walters, and Ambassador Ronald Gidwitz, all on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Now, in 86, you were a Democrat, and you switched to become...
That is correct.
You switched to become a Republican. Why in 86 did you do this, Ambassador Bernstein?
You know, I was very lucky as a young person in college in Washington, D.C. I had the opportunity to work for a U.S. president in college. And I worked for Jimmy Carter at the Department of Commerce. And it was really helped me formulate my thoughts on what patriotism looks like. We were there during the war, in the desert when the helicopters went down. What we changed is I met a young man who was running for Secretary of Commerce, running for governor of Florida, and his name happened to be Jeb Bush. And at the time, he was Secretary of Commerce, and he really was very inspiring to me. And he said to me, if I win, will you change parties? And his brother at the time was running to be president. And he was very engaging. I liked his stand on business. To me, it made a lot of sense on focusing on things like business, education, protecting Florida's coastline, protecting Florida's tourism industry. And I just felt that it was much, as a young businesswoman, as a person that had children, I had three young children, those were very important to me. And Jeb Bush won, his brother won, and I switched parties.
Very good. And you're happy with that decision now, some 35 years later?
Yeah, I am, actually. I still feel that the Republican Party represents who I am. Is best poised to take care of my children and grandchildren, my family, my safety and security. It's very important. That being said, let me say that I still have excellent, excellent relationships on both sides. I believe, and I've always believed, that we share more in common than we do at odds with one another. So I have always agreed to disagree on policy, but I do like to maintain my relationships on both sides of the aisle, because I believe that forging consensus is much more important than forging animosity and a bad relationship. So, because in the end, we are one country. If you're hit by a hurricane or a tornado or a tsunami, God forbid, the hurricanes, they don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, right? So I think that we still have to work together in terms of things like education and national security, business, budget, to, again, reach a consensus and move forward on a united path.
Very good. You've known Donald Trump for many years. You were a founding member of Mar-a-Lago, where President Trump presides for many years. And I'm just wondering about your belief in Donald Trump. He must believe in you, making you the ambassador in his first term to the Dominican Republic. Let's talk about your belief in Donald J. Trump.
I believe that Donald Trump has come to us at a very, very important crossroads in terms of America. I mean, let's look at what was happening in terms of illegal immigration into this country, where 14 million illegals were just led into this country. We don't know the full extent of it. I believe that Donald Trump is almost a force of nature. He is, for as long as I've known him, and that includes during 9/11, he has always been a patriot. He has always flown the flag. He has always loved this country. And I believe that in his mind, he is doing what he believes is best to guide this country. His family and my family, pretty much grew up together. I do support the president. And I certainly 1,000% support where we are on national security and the protection of this country and doing what's best for this world.
We're learning a great deal from a diplomat, Robin Bernstein, former United States Ambassador to the Dominican Republic, a key civic and business leader in Palm Beach, Florida. If you're listening in Northern Florida, South Buffalo, or Montreal, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. This station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand, so we'd like to hear from you. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, former Mayor of Buffalo Byron Brown, famous conductor and singer Alex Donner, and Robert Bucher about clean energy. Coming up, we'll have Reverend Phelan Scanlon of the Anglican Church in Bracebridge, Ontario, and the Bishop of the Diocese of Palm Beach, Manuel Rodriguez. A little plug here. Subscribe now and get all the AMPO Legal newspaper's features, recipes, photos, and more. Polonia's weekly newspaper will bring Polish American news to your email box each week for just $19. Get your one-year digital subscription with weekly columns, news from Polonia and Poland, historical and cultural features, and more at ampollegal.com. Just click subscribe at the top of the home page. A little bit more information about Ambassador Robin Bernstein. She started off as a Democrat and served as a transition team member for Jimmy Carter, and then worked around the Democratic Party until 86, when she became a Republican. Our guest today, Ambassador Robin Bernstein on the Rusk Report. Let's talk a little bit about what you did in your role as ambassador to the Dominican Republic for business and trade and economic development. Ambassador Bernstein.
Thank you. That's a very important question. And I had four important priorities when I was in ambassador, which I called SIDE, which stood for safety and security, investment and trade, disaster preparedness, and education. In terms of investment and trade, we held the first Florida Dominican trade mission, and we had over, I don't even know how many businesses and educational institutions come to the residents. We held safety and security seminars for the continuation of democracy. We education and trade. We set up trade relationships. We signed an MOU with the State Department and the Development Finance Corporation for $2 billion of infrastructure needs, and which included setting up digital networks, and a lot of those relationships have stayed today. Of course, it was in terms of safety and security. We worked with Southern Command, and we ordered mobile hospitals. I saw the need for mobile hospitals in case there was a hurricane or earthquake disaster. And I worked with Admiral Craig Fowler of Southcom, and we got two mobile hospitals with ventilators just in time, believe it or not, for COVID. And we got two for Haiti. And they had ventilators. These were inflatable hospitals that inflated up in 12 hours. And we were able to position them where they were most needed in the summer of 2020. And we were able to train, treat, and triage thousands of people and save innumerable lives. My goodness, Brian, there were so many things that we did. We set up, in terms of health and safety for women and children, there was a very, very high mortality rate for young women, and I'm talking about women as young as 12 and 13 years old who became pregnant. And I got a company called Vitamin Angels through the Gates Foundation. We got a grant. We worked with their health and safety, the doctor network, and we actually were able to provide and track vitamins for young pregnant women, and also when they had babies, we gave them postnatal vitamins, so we'd have healthy mothers and healthy babies, and we were actually driving down mortality rates by about 9%, and unfortunately COVID hit. Well, you know, the rest is history about after that. When COVID hit, we had to get out of the Dominican 30,000 American citizens. It was chaos. We had no PPEs. We had no, of course, we never had vaccines. People were dying. We were stuck on an island. It was a very, very critical situation. You know, people in the embassy wanted to leave. I mean, you have to let them leave, of course. But we did have a good core group there, and we were able to stay the cause and, you know, stay and work through it. But we had... You know, when people die, unfortunately, on the island, or there's, you know, we would take care of that. Many of you have heard of Big Poppy, David Ortiz. He was shot while I was there. We were able to get him an emergency visa and get him medevaced out, saving his life. We then tracked the guy that ordered the hit on him, and he is now serving 25 years to life in jail. We had to track them and extradite them, indict them, and we did that. So, you know, the role of ambassador is not for the meek. We went after drug traffickers, human traffickers, money launderers. You know, it's all in a day's work. And but it was fun. I enjoyed it, even when the going got very tough.
Now, I understand from your husband that he is a big baseball fan, and he really enjoyed going to baseball games while you were working as a diplomat, as ambassador. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, as I think I briefly mentioned before, the Dominican Republic sends almost 11.5% of its players to, you know, MLB. I mean, that's a big number, and it's a very big industry. All 30 teams, or maybe 29 teams, there was one that pulled out. I don't know if they went back since then. But all 30 teams have training camps there. What happened was I saw that there was a little boy that got injected with horse steroids. What was happening was they were injecting these kids with steroids, you know, so they would sign big contracts. And unfortunately, they got caught. So the embassy, we set up a program, which I coined a SAFE, which was, you know, which got kids at least an eighth or a tenth grade education mandatory. I got them a free college education if they signed with MLB. And if they didn't make it and they came back to a Dominican college, they had a free education. We had education, financial education. We tried to regulate the trainers. That's still a work in progress, I'll say. But you know, from doping these kids, and then the last was we tried to get a set aside. So let's say it was $1 million training bonus for, you know, a 14-year-old or 16-year-old kid. What we attempted to do was put into law that there would be a set aside, kind of like what they do in the United States. This was my husband's idea. They call it the Shirley Temple Law, where they took child actors and they took all their money. So we did a set aside. 15 or 20% of the signing bonus went into a Dominican bank until they were of age of majority, which was 21. And at least if they didn't make it in baseball, they would have money that was growing, you know, inside of a Dominican bank account for them to start a life outside of baseball.
Wonderful. Great work on behalf of the United States. Robin Bernstein, former U.S. ambassador to the Dominican Republic, a top civic and business leader in Palm Beach, Florida. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. Listening to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And again, for those who've just tuned in, our guest is Robin Bernstein. She was U.S. Ambassador to the Dominican Republic from 2018 to 2021, appointed by President Trump in his first term, preceded by Wally Brewster, succeeded by Leah Campos, and she's originally from Bridgeton, New Jersey in the United States. Our guest, Ambassador Robin Bernstein on the Rusk Report. Now, you must have helped a lot of the poor in the Dominican Republic. On one side of the island is Haiti, that is really in terrible condition with 80% unemployment. On the other side is the Dominican Republic, where people live considerably better. Let's talk about what you did for the poor in your role as U.S. Ambassador to the Dominican Republic, Robin Bernstein.
Thank you, Brian. Well, that was a critical part of what we did at the embassy. We had, as you know, at many embassies had a USAID and a Peace Corps component. USAID has since been transformed and has been lateraled over to the State Department in a different role. But the USAID component was very, very important to me in my work. We traveled to schools. We gave computers. We gave books to children. We looked at schools. It was so important to, we did different projects. We looked at agriculture. Agriculture is a huge part of what the Dominican produces. And some of our USAID programs, actually with the Department of Agriculture, helped farmers with, you know, new methodologies, whether it was insects. I know we went to a farm that they milked cows by hand. So we got them a milking machine. You know, it was for a school that was training young people how to do dairy and be farmers. We, through the Peace Corps, I tried, every time I went on visited part of the island, I would try and visit the Peace Corps. You know, Peace Corps people, honestly, are some of the best and most beautiful people in the world, because they go to these places and live in very, very humble environments, and they try and help the people at the lowest granular level to set up little businesses. I know I went to one where they took coconuts out of trees and they made coconut oil. So I tried to go to I did a Peace Corps induction, because I think that it was very important as the U.S. ambassador to visit these people, to know that we were there in case they needed us, but also to these little tiny communities. We went to, with my CDC director, we went to the Batayas, which is a very, very, very poor community, town. It's maybe a village. And where people live with dirt floors, Brian, and tin roofs. Mm-hmm. And we gave out, we went by a medical van, and we gave out HIV. We tracked the HIV, level of that particular town, because it was so close to Haiti. And you know, we brought down HIV levels at tremendous levels, at tremendous, tremendous levels, but it has to be monitored, right? It has to be tracked. So I said, I want to see what we're doing. And sure enough, we got in a van, and, you know, I went with my CDC director, and we went out to this wooded area. I visited schools and worked with the children and women's foundations. So whenever I could, I would incorporate it in as part of my day, a part of my week, to visit these areas and let them know that the U.S. is there, the U.S. is your friend, and the U.S. is an important ally. So it serves several messages, right? One is to help and assist where there is literally no money. These people probably lived on a dollar a day, right? And, you know, to help them, because we didn't want to necessarily give a hand out as much as a hand up. And I think that was really important as the work of as an ambassador that you're aware of, besides the national security component.
Wonderful, wonderful work on the part of former United States Ambassador to the Dominican Republic, Robin Bernstein, our guest on the Rusk Report today. We have a few minutes left. I'm thinking about the stability in the Caribbean. Cuba seems to be falling. Venezuela has already changed its leadership. And Haiti's in bad shape with 80-85% unemployment. Let's talk about stability in the Caribbean. Ambassador Bernstein.
Yeah, you know, Brian, I'm really glad you asked me that. Many people don't realize that Haiti and the Dominican Republic actually are on the same island. So it's actually the Dominican Republic, of course, was founded by Christopher Columbus on behalf of Queen Isabel in Spain in the Dominican Republic. Haiti was founded by, I think, the French. So you really have two completely different cultures. Two different methodologies. You have two different countries just living side by side. Haiti, unfortunately, has not achieved the stability that the Dominican Republic has. It's a shame. When I was there my sister ambassador in Port-au-Prince, Michelle Sisson, who was the ambassador there. We actually tried to get together and set up a U.S.-Haiti dialogue, I mean, a Haiti-Dominican Republic dialogue with both of our governments, when I say the governments, the Dominican government, the U.S. government, the Haitian business community, the Dominican business community. We actually were making a great deal of progress on bringing some more safety and stability and, you know, methodology. And then COVID hit. You know, I say this, it is so sad that, you know, COVID kind of interrupted our work. I do hope that, you know, the business communities there can get together, the new Dominican ambassador, the U.S. Dominican ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Haiti can get together and perhaps continue some of the work that we started. We worked with AmCham, the American Chamber, Dominican Republic, AmCham Haiti. I do hope that they could get together and perhaps continue the work that we started before, you know, sadly we had to focus on saving people's lives.
We've learned a great deal from a very dignified, bright former diplomat, Robin Bernstein, who was United States Ambassador to the Dominican Republic from 2018 to 2021. She's one of the top business and civic leaders in Palm Beach, Florida, not far from the President of the United States. Thank you for enlightening us, Robin Bernstein. Also, special thanks to Ella Dunphy and Paul Wallace for recommending this program. And special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the last 20 years. Thank you for teaching us so much about your former position, Ambassador Robin Bernstein. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.